Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, December 13th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the disgraced founder of FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, is arrested. Team coverage straight ahead.
Inflation is in focus as Wall Street braces for the latest CPI reading.
Another big investor forecasts a recession for next year.
And Elon Musk's SpaceX hits a valuation of $140 billion.
I'm Amy Morris. New York's gun law remains intact for now, and the city plans to honor the Central Park Five.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Rangers beat the Devils in overtime. A win for the Nets. The Patriots won, and the World Cup semifinals begin today.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets all day long here at Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 7 points, up almost 0.2%. Dow futures up almost 0.2%, or 55 points. And NASDAQ futures up 23 points, or 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 3.60%, and a yield on the 2-year is at 4.37%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9%. Nathan.
Karen, we'll have more on the markets in just a minute, but first we begin with the arrest of disgraced FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Authorities in the Bahamas took Bankman-Fried into custody after the U.S. government filed criminal charges. Prosecutors plan to unseal their case against him this morning. The New York Times reports charges include wire fraud, securities fraud, and money laundering. Ballot Crypto founder and CEO Bobby Lee Chunk tells us Bankman-Fried's arrest is a sigh of relief for the crypto business.
There's the perspective that he's been successfully lobbying the governments, the politicians, and he's been having good media treatment over the last few weeks. So there's been a lot of hate and anger that why aren't they arresting him sooner?
Bankman-Fried was scheduled to testify remotely before the House Financial Services Committee today. Instead, he's expected to appear in court as the U.S. seeks his extradition. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thank you. A reaction is pouring in this morning to Sam Bankman-Fried's arrest. Token Bay Capital founder Lucy Gasmararian says it's good news for the crypto industry.
Justice seems to be, you know, in process, which I think is welcomed by those in the crypto industry. It's actually moved very swiftly. I mean, this is actually all happening in just over a month, so they've definitely moved very quickly.
Lucy Gasmararian also says this case could define regulations for crypto exchanges going forward.
And we're going to have much more on the arrest of Sam Bankman-Fried coming up in just a few minutes here, Karen. But first, we want to turn to the economy and the outlook for inflation. We are just about 3.5 hours away from the week's first important data point, consumer prices for November. And it comes just one day before the Fed's policy decision. Bloomberg's Michael McKee begins our team coverage.
Inflation may have peaked, but November's CPI report will show it's still running about 3 times its pre-pandemic pace. Shelter, the cost of housing, will remain a big driver. Although private reports show rents and home prices declining, it takes a long time for that to be reflected in the CPI data. Service industries are still raising prices, driven by a shortage of workers, pushing up wages. Prices of used cars and medical care services are expected to decline. Apparel prices will also likely drop for a third month amid high inventory and heavy discounting heading into the holiday season. Anything short of a massive surprise won't affect the Fed's Wednesday decision on interest rates, but it will offer policymakers clues to the trajectory of inflation next year. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. Well, if history is any indication, today's CPI report will move markets. And we continue our team coverage with Bloomberg Markets reporter Valerie Tytel.
JP Morgan's trading desk had a note saying they could see a 10% S&P rally if the CPI comes in soft. And when you look at that, you know, that's not too surprising. Last month, soft print saw a 5.5% jump in the S&P. The last 6 prints in CPI have all had a 3% swing in the S&P index. So the volatility around the data today is huge, if not maybe larger than the actual rate decision tomorrow.
And Bloomberg's Valerie Tytel says markets continue to expect a 50 basis point hike from the Fed tomorrow.
And many on the street predict a rally if inflation cools, Karen. But not Jeffrey Gundlach. The Double Line Capital CEO predicts any rally likely won't last.
We're probably going to see a bounce in markets between now and maybe a month from now as money is rotated. There's been a lot of tax loss selling that's gone on in recent weeks, and I think that may reverse. But I think that that's going to be short-lived, and then I think we do see a renewed bear market in risk assets, not so much in bonds.
Double Line CEO Jeffrey Gundlach says rate hikes from the Fed will likely make 2023 a recessionary year.
Well, Nathan, we're watching shares of Oracle this morning up 2.3% in early trading. The software company reported quarterly sales that topped analysts' estimates. The company's Cerner Digital Health Records unit outperformed, and that helped Oracle overcome softer demand for its information technology services.
And speaking of technology, Karen, Elon Musk is making news this morning with two of his companies. The Washington Post reports Twitter has dissolved its Trust and Safety Council. Paper says Musk has undone years of investments in trust and safety at Twitter in the 2 months he's owned the company.
And Bloomberg News has learned Musk's SpaceX is offering to sell insider shares at a price that would raise the company's valuation to about $140 billion. SpaceX, based in California, currently dominates the market for commercial space launches.
And we have a note from Asia this morning. Hong Kong is scrapping some of its last remaining COVID restrictions. That follows China's rapid shift away from its zero-tolerance approach to the virus. Hong Kong will lift a ban on international arrivals going to bars or restaurants and will also stop requiring people to scan QR codes on their phones to enter venues.
And again, futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 7 points. Dow futures up 61 and NASDAQ futures up 25. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 3.59%, and the yield on the 2-year 4.37%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's Karen, 5:07 on Wall Street, 26 degrees this morning in Central Park. It's going to be sunny, but staying chilly today with highs only near 40 and getting back down to the upper 20s tonight. Amy Morris is here now with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. New York's gun law remains intact for now. The New York Times reports an appeals court has temporarily halted a lower court's ruling that blocked part of the law, which bans firearms in parks, public transit systems, and on private property without the property owner's permission. The stay is the third such order issued this month as the panel considers constitutional challenges to the law, which New York enacted this year after the Supreme Court struck down the state's limits on carrying handguns in public. While the number of felony crimes on the New York subway system is way up for the year, the head of the New York City Transit, Richard Davey, testified on a council hearing on public safety, saying that transit crime is actually down more than 13% for the month of November if you compare it to November of last year.
It's way too early to celebrate. But I believe there is real progress that we can trace back to the actions by the mayor and the governor.
Now, Richard Davey there referring to a plan from late October that put a heavier police presence in place in the subway system. He also testified that transit officials will push for judges to ban people from the transit system when they commit certain crimes. Tomorrow marks a decade since 20 children and 6 educators were shot dead at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says more needs to be done on the state and federal level. Now, back in October, the governor said something more needs to be done.
There are too many guns out there, too many illegal guns.
Lamont says he will be proposing measures to close the assault weapons ban loopholes and help take ghost guns off the street in the upcoming state legislative session. New York City is naming a gate in Central Park in honor of the 5 men who, as teenagers, were wrongfully convicted of the 1989 rape of a jogger and spent years in prison before they were exonerated. The city's Public Design Commission unanimously approved the project. The gate of the exonerated will be inscribed in sandstone at the northern end of the park. Mayor Eric Adams called the project a moment of truth and reconciliation for the city. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy. Thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stanshower.
Good morning, Nathan. It was October 13th when the Devils began their season with a loss in Philadelphia. They had not lost a road game since, and at the Garden, they led the Rangers 2-0 5 minutes in. They were up 3-1 midway through. Rangers rallied the tie. The game went to overtime.
Panarin, down the right side for Hedl. Shoots. He scores! Philip Hedl wins it in overtime for the Rangers. The setup from Panarin after a big save by Igor Shesterkin. The Rangers win it 4-3 in overtime and end the Devils' 11-game road win streak. The Rangers win their fourth in a row.
It's Kenny Albert, ESPN New York. The Devils were coming off a home loss to the Islanders. This is their first two-game losing streak since the first two games of the season. Nets, meanwhile, made it four wins in a row, eight of the last nine, 112-100 at Washington. Kevin Durant, in his hometown, scored 30 points. Kyrie Irving had 24. Both had been given the previous game off. Monday Night Football saw Arizona lose its star quarterback Kyler Murray to an apparent torn ACL. Happened on the third play of the night. New England scored the last 20 points, took the lead on a fumble return. The Patriots beat the Cardinals 27-13. So the Pats, the Jets, and the Chargers are all 7-6, three-way tie for the last AFC playoff spot. 61-year-old Mississippi State coach Mike Leach is in critical condition after suffering a massive heart attack. Texas suspended basketball coach Chris Beard after his arrest for felony domestic violence. Chris Bassett pitched this past season for the Mets, signed with Toronto. Argentina suffered that shocking loss to Saudi Arabia, but has won four straight since. Today in Qatar, it's Argentina versus Croatia in the World Cup semifinals. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. And Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off. In the Audi model you've always wanted, visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. Up next, we're going to get the latest on the arrest of disgraced FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried. First, S&P futures are higher by 5 points ahead of CPI data later this morning. Dow futures up 52. And NASDAQ futures are higher by 21 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 1/32nd, yield 3.60%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.38%. Bitcoin's trading 1.4% higher right now at $17,400. It's 5:12 on Wall Street. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get back to our top story of the morning. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried under arrest in the Bahamas, awaiting extradition to the U.S. Now only weeks after the stunning collapse of his crypto exchange. For more, we're joined live from Washington, D.C. this morning by Bloomberg Global Financial Correspondent Shanali Basak. Shanali, good morning. I expect this is making your trip to D.C. for the FTX hearings much different now. But what do we know so far about what led to SBF's arrest overnight?
Yeah. So we know that the U.S. Attorney General here has said that they expect to unseal an indictment later this morning, and they'll have more to say at that time about the charges that he is facing in the United States. But the Bahamas, remember, had said that they also had, been working with the United States and working through the extradition process, a process that could take some time, as we know. So it's both the Bahamas and the United States working together here. Remember, the U.S. charges are criminal. Indeed, he's also facing separate civil charges from the Securities and Exchange Commission in the United States. And those charges are expected to be filed on Tuesday in Manhattan. So we'll get a lot more detail today on the charges he's facing and what the authorities have to say about Sam Bankman-Fried in the United States as well as the Bahamas.
Yeah, so obviously he is under multiple investigations here and facing scrutiny, as you know, from lawmakers in Washington, D.C., with 2 days of hearings getting underway just today. And with this arrest coming, hours before those hearings are set to begin, what does this mean for these hearings that are due to start?
Correct. So this morning, we know at about 10 o'clock, we all hear from the new FTX CEO, John Wray, and he was the former Enron liquidator as well. And he's already posted his testimony. I'm sure he'll get asked a lot of questions about what happened to FTX, how customer funds can be recouped, and then also, changes in the industry going forward. Remember, when it comes to the House and the Senate, they also have effectively oversight of the SEC as well. And remember, this is a time where lawmakers are considering what new laws to pass to protect consumers in an event like this. Remember, Sam Bankman-Fried himself was supposed to speak virtually at the House hearing and is no longer doing so, according to our knowledge. And you did see Chairman of the Committee, Maxine Waters, come out with a statement saying really that Americans deserve answers here. And, while she, applauds authorities for doing their job, doing so right before the hearing maybe didn't allow here customers to hear a full story from Sam Bankman-Fried under oath as he testified to the House.
But even without being under oath, as you know, Sam Bankman-Fried has been speaking volubly outside of hearings, in the general public, in Twitter spaces, in interviews. I mean, how could that potentially affect the prosecutions against him?
I'm sure that authorities are picking up everything he said. I know, even as a reporter, I have transcripts of as many of the interviews as possible that he has made recently, including yesterday. You know, hours before he was arrested, he was speaking on a Twitter Spaces, trying to give retail traders a sense of what had happened here. The other thing, remember, in a leaked testimony that he was supposed to deliver today at the Senate, at the House, I'm sorry, he never had agreed necessarily to speak at the Senate.
Right.
He had said that he doesn't have the data he needs, and he put a lot of blame on the Chapter 11 committee here and the folks that are dealing with the Chapter 11 of FTX, which, as you know, are completely new management of FTX.
Okay. In our last minute here, Shanali, with these hearings getting underway here now with Sam Bankman-Fried facing prosecution, what's the sense of the appetite for crypto regulation coming out of Washington, D.C.? Is it turning to a more bipartisan consensus that there need to be more guardrails around crypto?
There has always been that demand. In the last couple of years, especially as more retail traders have gotten into the industry, and as the industry has pushed for 401k inclusion or ETFs that are tied to cryptocurrencies. So the question then becomes, does the SEC and the CFTC feel more empowered here to be tougher on the industry? Because a lot of people in the industry are starting to gear up for a fight, recognizing that because of FTX, regulation might get much tighter.
And just quickly, what further fallout are you expecting for crypto as an asset itself? I mean, obviously, it took a big dive after the bankruptcy of FTX. Could there be more fallout in terms of valuations for crypto, just quickly?
You know, Wall Street is nothing but opportunistic. There's plenty of people here that say that this is an opportunity for the big kids to come in. You do have crypto hovering above 17,400. So it hasn't seen a bigger drop off in recent weeks since we've seen the FTX debacle. But again, it's anyone's guess. It depends on what happens to other companies moving forward, as you know, many are facing bankruptcies.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for this, Shanali. Great having you with us. Bloomberg Global Financial Correspondent Shanali Basak joining us live this morning from Washington, D.C., ahead of the House Financial Services hearing on the FTX collapse. Now, apparently, without the testimony of Sam Bankman-Fried following his arrest in the Bahamas. Much more to come. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and European equities are rising amid forecasts inflation in the world's largest economy will post the lowest figure this year, warranting a less hawkish Federal Reserve. We check the markets all day long here at Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're up about 10 points or 0.25%. Dow futures also up 0.25% or 83 points. And NASDAQ futures up 0.3% or 35 points. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. And the 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 3.59%. Yield on the two-year, 4.37%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Karen. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the U.S. is in talks with Russia to come up with a deal to free former Marine Paul Whelan. He's been held in Russia since 2018. President Biden is expected to sign the Respect for Marriage Act into law today. The bipartisan bill aims to protect marriage for LGBTQ and interracial couples and requires all states to recognize marriages legally performed in other states. In sports, Monday Night Football, the New England Patriots beat the Cardinals. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Wizards. The Celtics win. In hockey, the Rangers beat the Devils, and World Cup semifinals get underway today. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Amy Morris, thank you. It is 5:23 on Wall Street. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak as we await the last piece of data before the Federal Reserve puts out its last policy decision of the year. The November Consumer Price Index is due out in just a bit more than 3 hours' time. And ahead of it, we welcome Anika Gupta, Director of Economic Research at WisdomTree. Anika, it's great to speak with you this morning. There was some interesting framing we just heard from Karen Moscow, the possibility that cooler inflation print, signs of continued cooling, could mean a more or a less hawkish message from the Fed. Is that what you're expecting?
A very good morning, Nathan. You know, that messaging is quite apt. I would say, you know, the market, today's event is definitely going to be quite pivotal for the markets. But it's important to keep in mind that, you know, CPI is one of the most backward-looking data series, and it tells us little about where inflation is really heading. Our view for today is, you know, the key focus is going to be on the services side of inflation, as it accounts for nearly 60% of overall inflation. And we're expecting at least a 0.3% month-on-month, you know, fall in core CPI for November. And clearly that would mark the second consecutive decline since September of 2021. So that would be quite an important change. But, you know, as far as the Fed is concerned, I think they've, you know, most of their messaging has been pretty well telegraphed. I don't think the CPI report could change this, the Fed's decision that we're going to get this week of raising rates by 50 basis points. But I think the messaging will allow markets, you know, to see some of those financial conditions ease further as we move ahead.
Apart from CPI, what are you looking at for signs that we are seeing the trajectory for inflation move in the direction that the Fed wants it to go?
Well, in the U.S., I think, you know, if you look at growth, we're still at below potential growth. And what we're really looking at is that supply and demand balance in how, you know, we're continually tracking the continuing claims, and we see them, you know, on a weekly basis rise. So that is telling us we are going to get some cooling in the labor market. And I think that is a data point that the Fed has been looking at quite closely as to when we begin to see a bit more cooling in the labor market. That's when we'll start to see that feed on, you know, to lower inflation prints. And that's when you see that services side of inflation, which has been quite sticky on the upside, you know, begin to loosen in terms of its momentum going forward.
Sounds like you're putting more stock on the labor side of the, of the Federal Reserve's mandate rather necessarily than the inflation side of the mandate. What's it going to take for the Fed to see that labor is getting to where it wants it to be? And we've got about 30 seconds left here.
Sure. I mean, the last, you know, print that we got for payrolls was very strong, above 263K. And clearly that's not pointing in the direction of a loosening labor market. Now, we're continuing to hear quite a few announcements on, you know, cuts in the employment rate for a number of firms, you know, very, very important firms across tech, across a number of sectors. And I think that will slowly begin to feed into the data, which will allow for a cooling of the labor market. And that's, I think, that pivotal moment when the Fed will realize that, you know, they've now got a handle on the markets. For now, I think inflation is going to trend on the much higher level versus where, you know, the Fed is targeting. And hence, it's going to make it difficult for equity investors to just expect to pivot in a natural tilt towards equities moving higher.
Thanks for this, Anika. Great having you with us. Anika Gupta, Director of Economic Research at WisdomTree. Now let's get a check of today's Bloomberg weather forecast.
High pressure will move in from the western part of the state today, and that's going to result in lots of sunshine across the tri-state area. Temperatures today, they should top out pretty close to 40 degrees. It's generally clear overnight, 25 to 30. Temperatures in the teens to near 20 in the suburbs overnight. Lots of sunshine for tomorrow. We're going to be close to 40. Rain develops on Thursday. It may be mixed with wet snow at the start, a high of 45. I'm Rob Carolyn with your three-day forecast on Bloomberg 1130.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:28 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with the arrest of Sam Bankman-Fried. The U.S. government has criminally indicted the disgraced FTX co-founder. Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with the latest. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Sam Bankman-Fried was supposed to testify today before a House committee about his stunning collapse of the crypto firm. Instead, he will stand before a judge as U.S. prosecutors begin efforts to have him extradited. Ballot Crypto founder and CEO Bobby Lee Chunk tells us the arrest shows a need for greater oversight of the industry.
We need to flush out the bad actors. We really need regulation and to show that rule of law is important and that people can't just do willy-nilly.
The government is expected to unseal the charges against Bankman-Fried this morning. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thanks. The reaction is pouring in this morning to the arrest of Sam Bankman-Fried. Bloomberg's Joanna Ossinger says senior leaders in crypto are wondering what's next for the industry.
There's still a lot of nervousness and the attitude of if this can happen to something like FTX that seemed so solid, people are starting to poke around and say, well, where else could there be issues?
And Bloomberg's Joanna Ossinger says crypto prices are still stabilizing. And taking a look at Bitcoin right now, it's up 1.5% on the session, trading around 17,400.
Well, turning to the economy now, Nathan, traders have their eyes on the November Consumer Price Index. It's due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Janet Mui, head of market analysis with Brewin Dolphin, says it's not all about the headline number today.
The important thing is observing the trends. So far, the trend is heading into the right direction in terms of the headline CPI. Important will be the core data, of course, and that could still remain a bit sticky.
Janet Mui with Brewin Dolphin believes it'll take some time for core CPI to come down.
And today's inflation data come just a day before the Fed's next policy decision. Consensus calls for the central bank to raise rates another 50 basis points tomorrow, no matter what comes from the CPI print.
Well, in corporate news this morning, Nathan, shares of Oracle are up 2.3%. The software company reported quarterly sales that beat estimates thanks to strong performance from its digital health records unit.
And two of Elon Musk's companies are making headlines today, Karen. The Washington Post reports Twitter's dissolved its Trust and Safety Council, and SpaceX is offering to sell insider shares at a price that would raise that company's valuation to about $140 billion.
And a note from Asia today, Nathan. Hong Kong is scrapping some of its last remaining COVID restrictions. The city will lift a ban on international arrivals going to bars or restaurants and stop requiring people to scan a QR code to enter venues. Futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures is up about 13 points. Dow futures up 103. And NASDAQ futures up 45. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 5:31 on Wall Street. Amy Morris is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City health officials are once again urging residents to wear masks. New York City's health commissioner, Dr. Ashwin Vasan, is warning there is currently a tridemic threat.
We are facing unprecedented levels of flu. We're facing unprecedented levels of RSV, and we're seeing an increase in COVID cases.
Health experts now recommending getting a flu shot, a booster, and wearing a mask indoors in crowded settings. To find a COVID booster or flu vaccine, you can go to vaccinefinder.nyc.gov. Brooklyn hospitals are still dealing with the after effects of a cyber attack that hit them last month. The New York Times reports One Brooklyn Health continues to serve patients in some of New York's poorest neighborhoods after a cyber attack forced some critical services offline. Cybersecurity experts are working to get its three hospitals, Interfaith Medical Center, Brookdale Hospital Medical Center, and Kingsbrook Jewish Medical Center, fully back online. New York transit officials told city lawmakers there are about 400 cameras operating on subway cars throughout throughout the city, part of a push to increase safety and ease passenger fears. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority is also paying $1 million every month for private security guards to roam subway platforms in addition to city police officers. Mayor Eric Adams and Governor Kathy Hochul have been trying to make the trains feel more safe for passengers in a system that's recovered only about 65% of pre-pandemic ridership. And New Jersey allocating more than $24 million for improvements in and around public transit facilities. The Safe Streets to Transit program and the Transit Village program will help fund access to public transportation. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Amy. 5:33 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Wins for the Rangers and the Nets, and both have now won four games in a row at the Garden. Thrilling win for the Rangers. They trailed the Devils 2-0 early on, rallied to tie, won 4-3 on a Philip Hedel goal at 2:15 of overtime. Hands the Devils their first two-game losing streak since the first two games of the season. It ends their 11-game road win streak. The Nets won in Washington, 112-100 for Kevin Durant, 30 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Monday Night Football at Arizona, third play of the game. Arizona quarterback Kyler Murray carted off with an apparent torn ACL. The Patriots and Cardinals were tied third quarter.
Coy on the quarterback's left flank as he takes the shotgun step. He drops back. Pressure throws down low, caught by Hopkins, crossing near side. Bolson's loose. Got it. Picked up by the Patriots. Down the right side. Running into the end zone. Touchdown. New England. A scoop and score for Raekwon McMillan.
98.5 Sports Hub with the call. Pats went on to win 27-13. That's not the outcome the Jets wanted. The Jets and Pats both 7-6, but New England has the tiebreaker, having beaten the Jets twice. The Chargers also 7-6. Three-way tie right now for the last AFC playoff spot. The Jets on Sunday come home to play the red-hot Detroit Lions, and it sounds like Jets quarterback Mike White will be able to play after tests on his injured ribs. Can Croatia pull out another victory? They've won only once in regulation, but a couple of penalty kick victories just like 4 years ago. And today in Qatar, it's Croatia against Argentina, and the winner plays in Sunday's World Cup final. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Bloomberg Sports brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here with that is Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Food delivery companies are backing a bill in New York City that would amend the city's cap on the fees they can charge restaurants. The bill would require companies to offer basic delivery services at the capped 15% commission, but let them charge restaurants a premium for things like marketing. New York regulators and law enforcement are starting to crack down on an onslaught of illicit pot sellers. Scores of so-called weed bodegas have popped up in storefronts across the city, hawking pre-rolled joints, edibles, and other things. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey had its rating raised to AA- by Fitch Ratings because of the transportation hub's economic recovery after the pandemic downturn. Fitch says the authorities' bridges, tunnels, aviation, and port facilities are approaching or have achieved a full traffic volume. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Corey.
Okay, Ed, thank you. It's 5:36 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Have you heard of ChatGPT yet? It's a thrilling, vexing, ontologically mesmerizing new technology created by the research group OpenAI. In essence, ChatGPT is a bot trained to generate human-like responses to user inputs. On request, it can produce basic software code, rudimentary financial analysis, amusing poems and songs, and more. ChatGPT exemplifies a widening array of artificial intelligence tools that may soon transform entire industries. As yet, policymakers seem largely unaware of this revolution, let alone prepared for it. They should greet it in a spirit of optimism while being attentive to its potential risks. For better and worse, ChatGPT heralds a very different world in the making. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Another story we're watching this morning. China is delaying a closely watched economic policy meeting due to start this week after a surge of COVID infections in Beijing. The Central Economic Work Conference was supposed to begin on Thursday. It's usually attended by President Xi Jinping. Sources tell Bloomberg News there is no set timetable for when that conference is going to be rescheduled. It's now 5:38 on Wall Street. Up next on Bloomberg Daybreak, we continue to preview the latest inflation data, November CPI, and what it'll mean for the Fed. Tom Porcelli, the chief U.S. economist at RBC Capital Markets, joins us straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update's brought to you by SEI. Built on advanced technologies and 50 years of innovation, SEI offers asset managers a comprehensive and flexible operations outsourcing platform. Go to SEIC.com/managers. U.S. stock index futures and European equities on the rise this morning as we await the latest reading on inflation. The CPI is out at 8:30 Wall Street time. Right now, futures, again, higher. S&P futures up 15 points. Dow futures up 119. They're both up about 0.33%. And NASDAQ futures are up 52 points or 0.4%. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. The 10-year Treasury up 0.4%. Yield 3.59%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.37%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.2% of 85 cents at $74.02 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $5.10 at $17.97.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0532 against the dollar. British pound 1.2282. The yen 137.60. And Bitcoin is up 1.4% at $17,400. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Karen. President Biden forming an interagency group to fight anti-Semitism and other forms of discrimination. The group will work to, quote, counter anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and related forms of bias. Commuters are spending more time in transit. Data from the research firm MoveIt show the average post-pandemic commute increased by 4 minutes in New York City, Toronto, and Milan. In sports, Monday Night Football, the New England Patriots beat the Cardinals. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Wizards. The Celtics win. And in hockey, the Rangers beat the Devils. World Cup semifinals get underway today. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. It's 5:42 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager, along with Karen Moscow, taking a look at some of the other stories making news this morning. In pre-market trading, we are watching shares of Oracle. The company reported quarterly sales that beat estimates, thanks to a strong effort from its digital health records unit. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Oracle overcame softer demand for information technology services in a choppy economy. Sales increased 18% to $12.3 billion in the period ended November 30th, compared with analysts' average estimate of $12 billion, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Cloud revenue, the highly watched segment that Oracle has been trying to expand, rose to 43% to $3.8 billion in the fiscal second quarter. The segment produced 45% year-over-year growth in the prior quarter. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. And shares of Oracle right now are higher by more than 2% in pre-market trading.
Well, Nathan, another story from corporate America that we're watching this morning. Sears Hometown Stores has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. It's a branch of the retailer that focuses on selling appliances, hardware, and garden equipment. Sears spun off the Hometown business in 2012 to raise cash for its struggling parent company.
On Wall Street, more job cuts are on the way, Karen. We're learning Goldman Sachs is looking to slash at least a few hundred more positions as it restructures its consumer business. More on that from Bloomberg's Sri Natarajan.
There have obviously been a lot of scrutiny on Goldman's retail banking operations. Remember, that is not the core of the bank's business. It obviously made a foray into that space, trying to court Main Street consumers, where it hasn't quite gone according to plan. And this year in particular, there have been mounting losses in that division, losses that have accelerated even beyond their early projections.
Bloomberg's Sri Natarajan says the latest cuts show Goldman moving beyond its annual exercise of weeding out underperforming staff. Now let's move on to the big economic data we're all waiting for this morning. The latest read on inflation. Consumer prices for the month of November come out at 8:30 Wall Street time this morning, just one day ahead of the Fed's latest policy decision. We're joined now by Tom Porcelli, Managing Director, Chief U.S. Economist at RBC Capital Markets. Tom, good morning. What are we going to get from the data this morning?
Good morning. I think consensus is probably right. I think it's going to be around a 3/10 on both headline and core. That outcome will push down the year-on-year pace for both. So I think it'll be, you know, sort of more of what we saw last month, which is to say, you know, the year-on-year pace moving in the right direction.
Well, what does this particular print tell us about the general direction for inflation moving into 2023? Does it say anything?
I think we have to be mindful that CPI in particular is really a lagging indicator. I mean, that is just a reality. So there's things that feed into this CPI report that suggest that we're moving in the right direction. I think that there are elements of the PPI in particular that really sort of drive home that we're moving in the right direction there. But I think you even have to look at other factors like, you know, sort of all the inventory build that we've seen over the, you know, sort of the prior year, really sort of coming back now to sort of drive home that goods prices in particular, core goods prices, are going to continue to decelerate into 23. I mean, that has been a pretty high conviction call for us for a while now. And so I think by the end of, you know, in 1 year from now, I think we're going to be in a very different place, a much better place from an inflation perspective.
Well, that has a lot more to do with supply chains ironing out. The Federal Reserve tightening policy doesn't have much effect on that, does it?
No, I think that's right. In fact, we said this many times, the Fed in a lot of ways is fighting yesterday's war on inflation with this aggressive hiking cycle that they have in place. You know, the other thing I think is sort of interesting from a Fed perspective is, you know, in so many ways, Powell gave us an off ramp from an inflation perspective. Basically, you know, during that last speech, he was pretty clear that, you know, there's a real case to be made for excluding shelter prices from the calculation. If that's true, which by the way we would agree with, because I think we all get that the shelter component, the way that that's constructed, it works with a pretty meaningful lags. But if that's true, that, you know, he's building an off ramp, then I think that, you know, he's basically giving us a lower hurdle to sort of for them to not necessarily claim victory. I don't think they're ever going to really do that in any meaningful way. But I think for them to say, hey, look, we think that we have the right policy in place and we're moving in the right direction, and that should be enough for them. So I think that was the groundwork that was laid by them.
So is there a possibility then that this CPI print could give the Fed the impetus to actually use that off ramp as opposed to just signaling it?
Yeah, no, not today. I don't think that's for today. I think that's for a sort of, you know, slightly down the road, you know, into 23. But I do think that, you know, the idea that we can, you know, at least in theory, exclude the shelter component. I mean, look, it's a massive weight, right? It's 40% of the weight of core. And while, you know, we saw some good, a good development last month, with the owner's equivalent rent in particular slowing down a little bit, we still think it's a little bit early for that kind of slowing to sort of really sort of be very much in place. But we think in the coming months that will continue to slow down. So even if they didn't want to exclude it, we still think that, you know, over the sort of the early part of the coming year, inflation will still get into a pretty good place because it will start slowing down.
Well, what is it going to take, do you think, in our last minute here, Tom, for the Fed to be satisfied and to, if not just take the foot off the gas of jumbo rate hikes, to actually pivot away to start a cutting cycle here?
You know, I think to stop the hiking cycle, for starters, I think we're there, right? I mean, you know, we're only a few more hikes away from the Fed finishing this up. So we think, you know, terminal is upon us. You know, we think our view has been that you'll get to 5 to 5.25 will be your range. We do think cuts are going to happen in the coming year. We think they'll happen in the second half of the year. And what it takes to get there is obviously inflation will have to have continued to move in the right direction. You obviously need to check that box off. But I think, you know, to get to cuts, you're really going to see, you're going to need to see more labor market deterioration, and we do expect that in the coming year.
Thanks so much, Tom. Great having you on with us once again. Tom Porcelli, Managing Director, Chief U.S. Economist at RBC Capital Markets. As we await the November consumer price data, the CPI due out 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, we will have full coverage for you throughout the day right here on Bloomberg Radio ahead of the Fed policy decision coming up tomorrow. Much more still to come. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are rising as we await inflation data. And we check the markets all day long here at Bloomberg, with S&P futures up about 18 points or 0.4%. Dow futures up 0.4% or 139 points. And NASDAQ futures up 0.5% or 60 points. 10-year Treasury at 4/32nd, yield 3.59%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.37%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.2%, up 89 cents at $74.06 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3%, or $5.20 at $17.97.50 an ounce. The euro this morning, 1.0533 against the dollar. That's little changed against the dollar. British pound, 1.2281, and the yen, 137.63. And looking at Bitcoin, it's up 1.4% at about $17,400. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It's 5:56 on Wall Street. Time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Today, we look at the Federal Trade Commission suing to stop Meta platforms from buying Within Unlimited. That's a virtual reality fitness app. The FTC says Meta is trying to create a monopoly in virtual reality in the same way it says Facebook did when it bought Instagram and WhatsApp to extend its dominance in social networking. Meta denies the allegation, but a judge is going to decide whether to stop the acquisition after a federal trial in San Jose, California. For more on the matter, June Grosso speaks with Bloomberg Intelligence senior litigation analyst Jennifer Rhee.
Why is the FTC trying to stop Meta from buying Within?
What they're trying to do, I think, is not make the same mistake that they believe they made in the past when they cleared FTC's acquisitions of Instagram and WhatsApp. They're looking at Meta as a company that's trying to sort of take over this burgeoning virtual reality space. And they see this acquisition as part of that. Within makes virtual reality apps. It has a very popular one for fitness called Supernatural. And what the FTC claims is that if Meta didn't buy Within, they would be competing on their own because they have the resources and they have the wherewithal and the interest in developing their own fitness app that would compete. And it would be better for them to compete than to buy Within and go forward in virtual reality fitness that way. So the allegations here is of potential competition, that if it didn't buy Within, Meta would compete with them in the future, even though it doesn't today.
Is this a test case for the FTC for its more aggressive strategy on mergers, especially by the Silicon Valley giants?
I think it can be thought of that way, absolutely. Not just a test case to try to expand the boundaries of antitrust law and try to push some of these novel theories and have some success in court with novel theories that might open the way, open the road in the future to more easily challenge other deals. And I think it's also part of trying to prevent big tech platforms from continually growing through acquisition. You know, there's nothing wrong with growing organically, but just trying to prevent this growth that's happened over the last 10 years through acquisition. So it's sort of twofold.
And you think it's an uphill battle for the FTC?
I think it's difficult because I think it's very speculative. Again, if the documents show that there were no plans to develop a virtual reality fitness app, or there might have been plans that were nixed, but nixed not because of the purchase of Within, but for other reasons, you know, that kind of neutralizes this argument that they would have been a potential competitor. And I think that it's really hard to say, hey, this company was going to enter, and you know what? If they had, they would have been a vibrant competitor to Within's very popular fitness app. I think that's difficult to prove in court. And I also think there could be some problems with the defined relevant market here, limiting it to just these virtual reality fitness apps.
That's Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Litigation Analyst Jennifer Reese speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. S&P futures higher by 17 points right now. Dow futures up 135 and NASDAQ futures on the rise by 60 points. We check your business headlines, all the news you need to start your day. Hour two of Bloomberg Daybreak starts right now.